Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And as a congregation, we've been working our way through the Gospel of John together, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And this morning we find ourselves in chapter 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the verses 1 through 8, or 1 through 7. These are familiar verses to you, and we will interact with that during our sermon. John chapter 14, the verses 1 through 7. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Thus the reading of God's word from John chapter 14. Our text this morning contains three very familiar verses which almost all Christians are familiar with, even those who maybe do not know a lot about the scriptures. These three verses are often memorized and used for a variety of purposes or situations in a believer's life. When a believer is feeling hardship or trouble, whether it be sickness, financially, or even trouble within their own families, they are encouraged to read verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. When a believer needs comfort because a loved one has passed away, quite often at a funeral, you'll hear verse 2 read. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. Words of comfort that the believer who has passed on is now in a better place. When a believer is confronted by someone who does not believe in the Bible and does not believe in Christ for salvation, quite often verse 6 is read. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot be saved through any and every religion. Not all religious people go to the same place. Instead, verse 6 tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. But the question we want to ask ourselves this morning is that in these three familiar verses, each verse used for different particular situations, what do these three verses have in common? You notice that God has inspired the gospel writer to include them in very close proximity to one another. And there must be some common theme to these verses which ties each one of them together. If you look at the end of verse 5, you will see what this key theme is. Thomas has asked a question to our Lord. Lord, we do not know where you are going. And the last phrase of that question is, how can we know the way? If you want to lay out a common theme in all of these verses, as we will show in our sermon today, that common theme, that key point is the way. How do we know the way? And each verse interacts with that theme. So this morning we're going to begin in verse 1. There we read that very familiar verse, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Now, you must know that on previous occasions in this gospel, in the previous three chapters, That word troubled, that Greek word for troubled, has been used. The first time we saw it used was in chapter 11 at Lazarus' tomb. And after Lazarus had died and Jesus went to his tomb, we read in chapter 11, verse 33, that our Lord was moved in spirit and was troubled. He was troubled because he knew that after Lazarus was raised from the dead, very soon, and it happens at the end of the chapter, the plot is made to kill Jesus as if the raising of a dead man was the last straw. And Jesus knew it. In chapter 12, we read that Jesus is troubled. Chapter 12, verse 27. This time, it is in the context of Jesus predicting his death. The disciples have followed him into Jerusalem during the triumphal entry. They think that Jesus has come to conquer the world. And Jesus then tells them that he is going to die on the cross. And knowing that this is the case, we read in verse 27, Jesus saying to his disciples, "Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." And then in the previous chapter, in chapter 13, again we read that Jesus was troubled. In verse 21 of this chapter, Jesus has just stated around the table fellowship, around the washing of his disciples' feet, he has just stated that one of them will betray him, that being Judas. And we read in verse 21 that after he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit. But now, three times having read that Jesus is troubled, we go to chapter 14 and we see Jesus reversing things. He is troubled, but he is now telling them not to be troubled. Our Lord is troubled because he knows that his death is coming. And now in chapter 14, he, in the context of this verse, is speaking in terms of his death. He is headed to the cross. He is going to die on the cross. He will be betrayed by Judas, one of their own. He is going to be led away to the Sanhedrin and condemned by the Sanhedrin to death. He is going to be given over to the Romans, where he will be crucified, where he will be nailed to the cross, where he will die and be placed in the tomb. These are going to be troubling events for the disciples. And now Jesus, knowing this is the case, declares to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." What are they to do? That's the second part of the verse. Trust in God, trust also in me. Now, I'm reading that verse this morning out of the NIV translation, one of the more modern translations, and you notice that the word used is trust. That word that they have translated from the Greek, translating it trust, is a reflection of how that verse is often used. For believers today, when going through troubled times, when facing difficult circumstances in their lives, quite often this verse is quoted. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. But the word, the Greek word, has a much deeper meaning, which is better translated in the English, believe. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. You see, Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to die on the cross. They, in the previous chapters, think that Jesus is coming to conquer the world, that he's going to conquer Jerusalem, that he will lead their armies against Rome and overthrow Rome. Well, now all their hopes die on the cross. Jesus tells them, do not think that by these events that are going to take place, that God is not doing something. Believe in God, he declares. Believe also in me. Just because I die on the cross does not mean I'm not the Savior of the world. Do not let your hearts be troubled. But who is troubled? In the previous three chapters, it is Jesus that has been troubled. Jesus is troubled because he is going to the cross. Jesus is troubled because all the sins of his people will be put upon him on that cross. And guess what, believers? You are sinners. But do not be troubled. As sinners, you deserve not heaven, but hell. But Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. What takes place on that cross is the way. The way that sinners who are guilty sinners and deserving of God's judgment will be forgiven and have the way to eternal life. In the next verse, verse 2, Jesus again speaks, this time of eternal salvation, in the context of heaven. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. Now, when I was a young man, and my mom would often play for us different records, Christian records and things. I know you don't have records anymore. We didn't have CDs in those days. We would listen to these Christian records as they spoke about passages and sing about passages of Scripture. And one of the ways that this verse was often interpreted was in terms of a palace. You see, the old King James language was, in my Father's house are many mansions. And in the stories and in the songs, it would be about, someday you're going to have your own room in heaven. You won't have to share with your brother anymore like I had to. Someday you're going to live in a Bill Gates-sized palace, and that will be your house, your own place, and there'll be streets of gold, which is the language of Revelation. And the picture that is given in terms of this text is that heaven is a place where you will be rich. But you see, that old King James language, when it uses the word mansions, mansion meant something different in those days than it means today. In terms of understanding this verse, a proper translation would be dwelling. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Many places where the people that Jesus has come to save will dwell with the living God. In my Father's house, Jesus declares, are many places, many dwelling places where those who believe in the way of salvation will go and will be. If it were not so, Jesus said, I would have told you, for I am going there to prepare a place for you. Now, as Jesus goes along to prepare the way, one way that he is preparing a place, he's not making your bed, painting your room so that it is the right color that you would like and you would be comfortable there. These are the kind of things that you hear as people think of this verse. No, he is preparing the way in terms of going to the cross. He is going to die on the cross. And as he dies on the cross, as he pays for your sin, the way will be prepared for you to go to the place, the dwelling place that God has for you. Well, not only does he speak of preparing the place in terms of his going to the cross, but once he goes to heaven, he will continue preparing that place for you while you are there. While you are here, before you are there. How does he do that? Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Now, as Jesus is speaking about this verse, he is speaking in terms of his going to the cross. We know that's going to happen. He's going to die on the cross. But after he dies on the cross and he is risen from the tomb, he will come out of the tomb, appear to his disciples, and ascend into heaven. Is that what Jesus is speaking of in verse 3? On a certain level, he is. I will come back. That means he's coming back from the dead. I will take you to be with me. What is he speaking of? Is he speaking of future, the end of time, when he returns? Yes, on one level. But we also understand that as he comes back and he takes them to be with him, that also means even now. You see, later on in this chapter, he will speak of his ascension into heaven after his resurrection from the dead. And while being at the right hand of the Father, he will send the Counselor. He will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be with you. And in that Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, God's people will know the Father. God's people will have union with the Father and the Son. And through the power of that Holy Spirit, though God's people are still on earth, there is a place in heaven reserved for them that is their place where they are presently, spiritually, and also future, eternally, physically, and spiritually. And when he comes back that second time, he will take his people to be with him so that they may be body and soul where he is. Where is he? At the right hand of the Father. Where is he? In the presence of the I Am. That is the place that God has for his people. That is the dwelling place. And he tells us that this is a real place. This is not something imagined. This is not something where you say on earth, okay, all the people living in harmony, that is like heaven. No, Jesus is speaking of a place in heaven where the Father is, where he is, where all those who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for their sins will be. A dwelling place, many of them, for all those who believe in the way. Now in verse 4, Jesus declares to his disciples, "You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said, "But Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? We need further explanation." And Jesus tells Thomas, "The way is right in front of you. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes unto the Father except through me." Jesus is saying, this is the only way. Sometimes you hear people say, there's a lot of religious people in this world. A lot of people that are very religiously devoted. They're devoted to their religion. And I can't believe that people that are so religious and so devoted that somehow they wouldn't go to heaven based on how religious they are. But Jesus tells us in this verse, no one comes unto the Father except through me. I am the way, the only way. You cannot go to heaven, that place in heaven that God has for you, through the teachings of Muhammad the prophet. You cannot go to heaven through the teachings of Buddha or some other Hindu teacher who teaches you a way to religious piety. You cannot go to heaven following Muhammad because Muhammad is not in heaven having prepared a place for you. Buddha has not prepared a place for his people in the presence of the living God. Jesus tells us in this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. But why? What is the difference? Remember the context of our passage. Where is Jesus going? Why is Jesus troubled? What does Jesus say to them? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You see, every other religion teaches that man ultimately could be bad, but by his works can eventually be good. Follow these teachings, follow these religious rules, be super devoted, and you can move to the point where you are now good and can be saved because you're good. But Christianity is the only faith that starts in a different place. Man is born a sinner. And as a sinner, you cannot save yourself. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth and is troubled because though he did not sin, he is going to the cross to take on the sins of all his people. And when he dies on that cross, he pays for their sin. He washes all their sins away. And now he has prepared the way. It's not about saving yourself. It's not about how good of a person you are, and if you're this good or you do this thing, you're going to be in heaven or in a paradise that some religions teach is in the future. This is about knowing that you cannot save yourself. And because you cannot save yourself, you need a Savior. And the only Savior that can be your Savior is someone who is perfect and someone who dies on that cross to remove the sins and the judgment of God that you deserve and takes it on himself so that you can know that salvation. That is why Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. But if you really knew me, verse 7, you would know my Father as well. From now on you do know him and have seen him. All through this gospel, we have been reading about Jesus, God's Son, revealing the Father and the Father's will. As Jesus heads to the cross, we're told in verse 7, they will know the Father. The Father's love. The Father loves his people so much, he sends his Son to die on the cross, though his Son does not deserve this death. But he loves those sinners that need that salvation so they can be in that dwelling place with him. If there were other ways to heaven, why would God the Father send his Son at such great cost for the salvation of his people? And so Jesus tells us, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. believe also in him. In the Father's house are many dwelling places, and there's a dwelling place for you if you believe that God's Son is the only way to that dwelling place, for he prepared that way through his death on the cross, through his resurrection from the grave, so that you can go be with him both now and forevermore. This is the gospel. And God is calling us this morning to believe it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for these very familiar verses that you have given us from John 14. And we're thankful, Lord, that as we have looked at them this morning in the context of the rest of John's gospel, we can see clearly what our Lord is speaking of, the way of salvation, the only way of salvation. We know, O Father, that we are gathered here this morning as sinners. We acknowledge before you that we cannot save ourselves. We rejoice that you have sent our Savior to pay for our sins, to die on the cross, so that we can go to that dwelling place in heaven where we can be with you. O Lord, help us not to be troubled. Help us as we face life, as we go through difficulties, not to be troubled. For we know that our sin is paid for, our Savior has paid it, and our salvation is forever. Grant us your grace. Grant us courage to speak these truths and to share them with others who do not know you, so they too can know the way. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.